stand by for unindoctrination. The Christian Whistleblower.
Connected.
The Christian Whistleblower.
You are now connected.
And now, taking on over 2,000 years of doctrination head-on, stand by for deep-end information. Asking questions you're already afraid to ask. Stand by for parabiblical research, spiritual technology. Get ready to be your own guru. Master your own ascension. Guide your own spirit. And now, showing you how, here's the Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, hello, folks. This is Jeffrey Dardy. I'm your Christian Whistleblower. Back with you on the Christian Whistleblower Show. Really kind of a transitory show tonight. We're introducing the new Create Yourself concept. So we're going to have the Christian Whistleblower Show that you're used to, and we're going to have the Create Yourself Show, which is an interview show, and it's going to be very exciting. I don't have a lot of time. Let me just pop through what we've got here for Unindoctrinate Daily. That's a feature that you are used to, and it's shocking news from Pope Francis. The headline is, Pope Francis likens Jesus to ISIS, says Muslims must breed with Europeans. Francis claims that ISIS is similar to Jesus sending his apostles into all nations. To quote the pontiff, he said, today, I don't think that there is a fear of Islam as such, but of ISIS and its war of conquest, which is partially drawn from Islam, in a really shocking statement. He made the statement to the French newspaper La Croix. It's the idea of conquest that is inherent in the soul of Islam. However, Pope Francis said, it is also possible to interpret the objective in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus, plastic Jesus, sends his disciples to all nations in terms of the same ideas of conquest. I'm only going to touch on this a little bit tonight because we'll come back tomorrow night with the regular Create Yourself program, and I'll touch on the other part of it. But it's shocking to me, but it's not shocking to me for the same reason that it's probably shocking to thee. And we have Cliff Desmond, a former Trinity Broadcasting Network insider and leading radio voice in South Florida, coming up on the show tonight. We'll get with Cliff in just a few minutes. But here is Francis saying out loud what I've been telling you for at least 2 years, and what I get no shortage of hate mail for saying. But I keep saying these things because I know these things are correct, and they keep proving me right. So here we go again. Get ready to eat some crow. Get ready to eat your hat, because here's the Pope saying what I've been telling you for 2 years. Remember I've said the Abrahamic religions, they're all the same thing? Judaism, Christianity, Islam, it's all the same God. Yahweh, Allah, the Lord, same dude. And he's always doing the same deeds, conquest, bloodshed. And they all have the same characters in them. And here's Francis saying, you know what? I know people don't like the idea of conquest of ISIS and Islam, but the idea of conquest is inherent in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus sends his disciples to all nations. And if you say, oh, but Jesus didn't kill anybody. No, Jesus didn't. But what do you think the Romans did when they marched into all the pagan lands? Convert, die. Christianity is the same as Judaism, is the same as Islam. Nations, religions of conquest, straight from the horse's mouth. We'll have a lot more on this tomorrow night, and I'm also going to make an unindoctrinate update about this as well. And right before we bring on Cliff Desmond, our guest, just waiting for him to arrive, I was very proud and very honored and very happy Oh, deep breath, Jeff. To speak at the Paradigm Symposium this past week in Minneapolis, Minnesota. To say we had a good time would be the understatement of at least this year, because I was there, got there Wednesday night, was there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. From Thursday night to Sunday night, that's 4 days. I got a total of about 10 hours of sleep. And surprisingly, alcohol was not really much of a contributory factor. It's just people that I've known and loved for years but have never met. You know how it is in a Facebook, Twitter world. People like Scotty Roberts, people like John Ward, people like Rocky Stucci, and the list goes on and on and on. And then brand new friends that I have met and made, and it's just a tremendous thing. But I want to talk to you for a second about what I call paranormal Pharisees. That's right, paranormal Pharisees. What is a paranormal Pharisee? Well, the way these conferences work is that somebody pays you, if you're a speaker, generally, they pay your way for you to get there, right? So they pay for a plane ticket for you to get there. And then they pay for your hotel room. And we stayed at a Super 8, but let me tell you something. This was the world's nicest Super 8. Very, very nice rooms, very, very nice beds, just a great place. So they pay for your plane ticket to get there. They pay for your room while you're there. And generally speaking, they pay you a speaker's fee as well. So the hosts are in for the plane tickets. The hosts are in for the lodging. And the hosts are in for paying these speakers a speaker's fee. And these speakers, this is what I talk about with Pentecostal. It's the same. This is what really angers me, because I saw it in the Pentecostal churches. I've seen it in the political realms when I was involved in politics, but I didn't expect to see it in the paranormal realm, and it has reared its ugly head in this realm as well. You get these guys that are supposed to be there to speak and to support the conference. You've paid their way. You're putting them up. You've paid them money to be there, and they can't bring their – I'm going to say a bad word, earmuffs, kids. They can't bring their asses into the show except when they are up to speak. That is a lack of integrity. That is gross arrogance. And they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Paranormal Pharisees. If these men are going to pay your way, if these organizers are going to buy your ticket, if these organizers are going to put you in a hotel, if these organizers are going to pay you speaking fees, you ought to carry your tired butt into every single one of those presentations. Now, was I there every single second of every single presentation? No, but I was there for all of them. Was I there for the dinners? Yes. Was I there for the lunches? Yes. Was I there for the masquerade ball? Yes. Was I there for all the panels? Yes. Did I complain about them? No. Because I am honored to be there. And when you are a speaker and you don't show up at all of the sessions and you don't show up for all of the panels and you complain about it, then you are nothing but a paranormal Pharisee. And let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something, sister. You are not nearly as famous as you think you are. And I wish that some of these organizers would call you out. You lousy paranormal Pharisees. Shame on you. Shame on you. And I don't know, if I go to another one and I see the same thing happening, I might just start naming names. So you better check the next conference you're going to. And if you see my name on the speaker list, you better show up, because if you don't, I'm going to mention you by name as a paranormal Pharisee. You're not as famous as you think you are. Shame on you. Okay. That is my rant for the paranormal Pharisees. And if you listened to this show, and if you even listened to this show, you heard our introduction. And the melodic voice on the introduction is that of my guest tonight, Cliff Desmond. Cliff is one of the leading radio voices of South Florida. Cliff has a fascinating and varied background, including being an insider in the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And Cliff is one of those guys that I consider a dear friend. But like these other folks that I didn't meet some of them until I went to this conference, Cliff and I have not met. So tonight I'm very happy to have Cliff with me. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to talk about, but I do want to ask him for a view behind the curtain of big time religion. I do want to talk to him about some things he's doing and what I'm calling astral evangelism. And to be frank with you, Cliff gave me that idea. And I want to hear some ideas that Cliff has about the goddesses and the goddess. I want to hear what's going on in the mind of Cliff Desmond. We're going to go until the bottom of the hour, take a little break, and then we'll take a break at quarter till, and then we'll be finished with the entire show at the top of the hour. But without any further ado, I'd like to welcome in my friend. I'd like to welcome in a man that I owe a great debt of gratitude to for what he has helped me with as far as making this broadcast more professional and more enjoyable. And ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, may I present to you my good friend, Cliff Desmond. Are you with us, Cliff?
Of course I am. And it's an honor to be in your cyber presence. No, we've never physically met, but I feel like we've known each other for ages.
And we're going to correct that, Cliff. We're going to get together. We're going to go down there to the Coral Castle, and we're going to do some things together.
That's right, and I got some surprises for you when it comes to what we do there. We'll be able to document it in a very unusual and interesting way. But I wanted to give you the lead tonight and just turn you loose and let you ask anything you want to, because I know you've hesitated in the past, and of course, I release it all to you. You can ask what you will about any part of it. Folks, when you listen into what we're going to be talking about tonight, I can hear the eyeballs rolling already, and it's all right. You can roll your eyes over some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. But basically, what I'm all about is the simplicity of being aware of my inner being. And I thought, well, that's not a story to tell, but well, the story to tell is that everybody has one, and everybody needs to pay a little bit of attention to it. And I've kind of called it the stealth light. We have a stealth light within that's even hidden to us, and until we realize it, until we see what's going on our own inside. And that's basically my only message is pay attention to your inner being, because there's a little more there than what you have been taught or been allowed to learn, right, Jeff?
Absolutely, Cliff. And the fact that you've brought that up, I mean, just the idea of, and I love your terminology, the stealth light within. We could probably spend, you know, several hours talking about the stealth light within, and especially two fellows like you and I that have been involved in big-time religion, and where really, whether it is intentionally or whether it's just a byproduct of the entire situation, that stealth light within is not, you're not encouraged to embrace it. You're not even encouraged to understand that it exists. And some would argue that you're actually discouraged to look within and discover your own stealth light, because we're taught that we've got original sin within and certainly not any stealth light within. But Cliff, if you would, just give the listeners an idea of your background. Who is Cliff Desmond, and what are some of the things that he's been involved in?
Well, since 1975, primarily, it's been a wonderful, exciting career in radio. I got to work in several great markets. I started here on Florida's Treasure Coast, and I moved up into West Central Florida, up in the Ocala area for a while, and I did some radio there. And then I went on an interesting venture with a fellow over in Branson, Missouri today. His name is Billy Hale. He was a pastor of a church in Citrus County, Florida. And he had this opportunity to go start a Southern Gospel radio station in a little town called Pulaski, Virginia. So Billy and I went into Pulaski, and I had been a music director country music radio, and I was a Gavin reporter, so it had a lot to do with the current top 40 and the songs that were being added to the charts and moving up the charts. And I showed them how to implement this with Southern gospel, and Singing News Magazine would quote me every month. They'd call me up and they'd say, who do you think's going to, what song should we release off of this next album? And, you know, I had a little method that I had created in my mind about what consists of a great song, a hit song. And to make it simple and short, if you've got a song that people are singing along to before you're done singing it, you might have you something there. You really might. And I was able to help a lot of folks in that area. Of course, from Pulaski, Virginia, did the same thing at 100,000-watt FM in Panama City, over there in the Panhandle. And, of course, when it was all said and done, I realized that I could work anywhere I wanted to, and I came back to the Treasure Coast. Been back for 23 years now. The same job I walked into actually 2 days after I had returned to the Treasure Coast. And so that was kind of way too coincidental. And, of course, now during the last 23 years, I had some interesting opportunities. I'll tell you something else, that I've been a lifelong puppeteer and puppet maker since age 8.
That's right.
And this week, don't tell anybody, but this week I turned 58. So I've been making puppets and doing puppetry for 50 years, but that's always been in and out of everything else I've been able to do. And we could talk for months about that, but, you know, all that's already on the internet. Maybe towards the end of the show, I'll tell them how they can figure out more about that. And of course, the Stealth Light Within, because there's so much to cover tonight, Jeff. I don't know where you want to start, but I've got a basic idea. During the last 23 years, I had an 8-year window of opportunity, which I ended abruptly on my own heart because I just couldn't do what I was doing anymore. I had an 8-year opportunity of being a director. We're talking about a television show producer of a local Praise the Lord program for a TBN affiliate.
And tell the audience who TBN is, Cliff, for those that don't really understand. And I'm sure as you explain it, they'll say, oh, yeah, those guys.
Well, do you remember the beautiful woman with the pink hair who was so sweet? She's still out there. Jan Crouch. She and her husband, Paul, had this evangelistic television network. And it was during the time that I was there, they had, like, I guess, 400 TV stations, but a lot of cable. And they had a worldwide saturation coverage. And during the time that I was there, I also had the opportunity of, it was dropped in my lap as a project. They gave me a Macintosh computer with a Final Cut Pro and a Canon camera for doing shoots out on scene. And we produced music videos. I've never touched a Mac before, so I sat down, I looked at it, I said, hey, wait a minute, I could do this. And just sat right down to it without any training with a Macintosh and made about a dozen hip-hop music dance videos that are still being played on one of the, I think it's JCTV. Once in a while you might see one with beautiful Florida landscaping. That might have been one of them. Because we used, you know, TBN had a license on all the music, so we could do anybody we wanted to. And we had local dance clubs that were available. You know, the local pastors, they and their wives get to host the show. And TBN is pretty well comprehensive out there with communities hooking up all the big local churches with their own local shows at their local stations. So I was working at a local affiliate.
Absolutely. And Cliff, is there any truth to the fact that TBN stands for the Benny Network, as far as Benny Hinn goes?
You would think so from seeing it. But, you know, I directed all the local production. I was the director back then, and we had three cameras, and then we had another guy walking around with a shoulder camera. We had a floor director. And, of course, we had a studio audience and everything, and we had all these moves that we made to present the weekly Praise the Lord show. We also did some public affairs programs for the, you know, station license sake. Most radio stations and TV stations have to do, you know, so much public affairs of sorts. So that was we did that too. But that opportunity, though, really a 40-hour week when you produce a 2-hour show and then four 30-minute shows during a week. So I did master control during the rest of the time. So I got to really look at everything that TBN was broadcasting all the time. And when you're looking at it that much, you kind of see past what you would think the maybe the original purpose has been lost or something. But I had this very creepy feeling about the money. It seemed really strange to me because I knew that there were things going on behind the scenes, and they have a show called Behind the Scenes, no reflection on that. But I basically knew how a lot of these folks operated, and I also worked with people that had this terrible fear of these folks. So, after 8 years and looking at that screen in master control, watching everything that comes in and kind of observing it, I saw more of an emphasis on money, we need to care about the money more than anything else. And I'm thinking there's a whole lot of reasons not to emphasize that so much, especially overemphasize, but it was just going on and on. It was driving me nuts because I was saying, this is all about the money. And it can't be, because you talk to these folks, you meet them, they come into town once in a while. They're nice people. But it's business. It's all business. And what I realized I was a part of was I was a part of what I started to perceive to be perhaps maybe even the beast itself, a big machine that just had this immense control of people and money. And I just felt, I don't want to be standing here when lightning strikes, and I kind of stepped out. I had trouble getting out because, they didn't want me to leave. They didn't want to have to go through the process of finding or training somebody. And actually, it took me a year after my 2-week resignation. It took me a year to finish up over there because there's little side things that need to get done. And once in a while, I'd find myself learning a little too much in certain areas, and everything I learned became my job. So, and behind all that, I stayed in radio during all this time too. And I'm still doing a show today, every day, that I've done, since the early 80s.
What's that called, Cliff?
It's one of those shows that people call and sell their stuff. It's a swap shop type of show.
Okay.
And I
okay.
call in, let's just say Jeffrey Daugherty, I got a buddy in Central Florida that's looking for a motorhome, and give him a call at such and such, or somebody will call me and say they want to sell their house or their car, or they're having a yard sale this weekend. And it's a program that's been on the Treasure Coast for over 60 years. And
wow.
I've been proud and excited to be a part of it. Every minute of it, I've loved it.
That's
awesome.
Time
flies when you're having fun, too. And I'll tell you, life's gone by very fast the last 23 years especially.
I bet.
But I underwent my transformation during that time from being indoctrinated to unindoctrinated. I didn't know I was unindoctrinated until I ran into Jeffrey Daugherty listening to Coast one night.
Cliff, would you say during the TBN years that you would have identified as an evangelical Christian?
Yes. That's and basically during the Southern Gospel music days. In fact, I played in a Southern Gospel band that was the opening act for a lot of big names, and it was a lot of fun. But once you start seeing things in the light of day, as opposed to being revealed or concealed. When you start seeing things and knowing things and understanding things, there is a peace that is far beyond recognition, I'll say, beyond
absolutely.
And another thing too is there's such an emphasis on the academic part of religion. It's you have to study and you know, of course you do, of course, and that's what we've done all of our lives. Now like you. With the degree and the experience of over 20 years as a minister, you've done homework already and homework in between that, and you were basically transformed from indoctrinated to unindoctrinated. But you couldn't do that without that peace within from knowing who you are inside.
No, it's the stealth light within waking up. You know, absolutely, no doubt about it. And I wanted to just ask you, when you were dealing with the Southern gospel music, did you ever run across J.D. Sumner and the Stamps?
I worked with J.D. twice. In fact, last time I saw him, actually three times. The last time I saw him, he was in Fort Pierce. He appeared here with the Stamps. But when I was up in Panama City at that 100,000 watt FM, I was doing Southern gospel there too, because they wanted what we had in Pulaski, so I had gone there. And he appeared at the mall in Panama City. And, well, of course, the radio station was there, so I was there. And there was J.D. Sumner sitting in this most beautiful throne in the middle of the mall, on his finger, a gigantic ring. It had a row of, I believe it was six diamonds, and six rows of six diamonds. These were all at least 1 carat diamonds. And I said, "Where did you get that ring?" And he says, "Elvis gave it to me."
And that's exactly how he sounded. I've seen that ring, Cliff. I actually had a chance to hang out with JD on several occasions. I'll never forget.
Oh, wow.
Of course, he's passed now, so we lost a real gentleman. But I'll never forget the first time I met him. I was still actually a preacher, and he was on a bus, on his tour bus. He was getting ready to go to a big Baptist church and do his singing. And one of my friends was the leading Elvis impersonator in the world for a long time and worked with JD, one of the very few impersonators to do so. So we jumped on the bus and said, and we're talking to JD, and he's sitting there drinking, you know, a whiskey and water, you know, just moments before he goes into the Baptist church. And my friend introduces me as a minister, and JD's like, "Oh my Lord," you know, he starts looking for someplace to put down his glass. But JD Sumner, you know, like the rest of us, he had some foibles, but I think that was a man that I really enjoyed. And I think that deep down in at the heart, I think JD did have a good heart, and, you know, whether he had some foibles or not. And great stories about Elvis, and talk about a guy with foibles but who had a big heart. Elvis Presley was certainly that. And that ring that he gave to JD really was amazing. Got about 3 minutes here, Cliff. Go ahead and finish up that thought that you were on.
Well, I also got to work with great people like the McCameys. Have you ever heard of the McCameys? I ran a spotlight at that concert, and they got a famous song out called "God of the Mountain." Still, the God of the Mountain is the God of the Valley. And I met Michael English when he was singing with a quartet group called the Singing Americans. Now, Michael English has one of the most awesome voices in gospel music today. The last time I heard him on TBN was during one of those multicasts, and there was some kind of a problem with a song he didn't want to do, and he was kind of strong-armed over the network. And I'm listening to the producers during these three or four cities they were all hooked up in, and they were passing messages back and forth, and they said that, "Michael, you got to do that song." They said she wants the song, and we won't go into who and all that, but she wants the song.
But she is Ben, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, okay. She wanted him to do the song, and I don't know what the problem was, but he refused to do the song. That was the last I had ever heard of Michael English on TBN. So I'm always suspicious about that and wonder about things like that, but wow.
Is that amazing?
I know about breaks. I know what bottom of the hour breaks are, Jeffrey. I deal with them every day.
I'm sure. I know you do. You're the professional in this relationship. That's for certain.
Well, I'm not a legendary broadcaster. I am a lifelong broadcaster. And I am also what I would consider one of the last of the type of broadcasters that I am, because I'm a radio broadcaster on AM radio. And people say, the kids say, "What is that?"
Right.
And I say, okay, here's the website. You can peek at me through my Ustream webcam. So, and that's the pretty much what I'm up to and what I do. But
absolutely,
you know, the emphasis coming up on the other side of the break, Jeffrey, is what happened to Cliff Desmond, the Southern Gospel guy, the Bible puppet guy. What happened to him? Why are his thoughts forming, reforming, transforming? what is going on? And I can explain some of that when we get back from the break.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. And when we get back from our break, we will be hearing more from our very special guest, Cliff Desmond. And don't go anywhere. Grab yourself maybe some chips and a drink, because you've got another half an hour of outstanding top-shelf radio here on the Christian Whistleblower Show as we introduce our new Create Yourself concept. And that's exactly what we're going to have, is guys and gals like Cliff who can help us learn how to create ourselves and live the life we'll love. So we'll be right back after these few brief messages with our guest, Cliff Desmond, and who knows what surprises he has for us. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, your Christian Whistleblower. We'll be right back. Well, hello, folks. This is Jeffrey Daugherty, your Christian Whistleblower. I'm very excited and honored to have been a speaker at the Paradigm Symposium this past week in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If you're looking on my social media, you'll see a lot of people talking about the presentation, which was about the alien agenda in the New Testament. And I wanted to let you know that that speech, that whatever it was, came out of my book, which is entitled The Final Message of the Last Apostle. You may have heard me on Coast to Coast talking about that very same book. And if you'll go to jeffreydaugherty.com and christianwhistleblower.com and or just hit the tab up in the top that says books, and you can find Final Message of the Last Apostle, which does include all of the information and much, much more that I shared at the Paradigm Symposium. They only gave me an hour to speak, and I actually cut myself off a little early because I misread the clock in the back, but that's another story. So if you are at the symposium and want to get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, or if you'd like to know about the alien agenda in the New Testament, where there are full-blown UFO, ET, extraterrestrial, alien imagery deep within the New Testament, all of it surrounding the major events in the life of the figure we call Plastic Jesus, you want to get a hold of Final Message of the Last Apostle. And we don't just leave you hanging. We also tell you why there's a UFO, ET, alien agenda in the New Testament. And we don't necessarily say that Plastic Jesus was an alien, but it certainly looks like there's at least somebody that wants you to believe that he was. And why? That's a message that takes about 400 pages to tell you. Final Message of the Last Apostle, Alien Agenda in the New Testament by yours truly, Jeffrey Daugherty, available at jeffreydaugherty.com and christianwhistleblower.com.
And now, back to the Edward Snowden of the New Testament, the Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Daugherty.
Well, welcome back. This is Jeffrey Daugherty, your Christian Whistleblower. I'm joined tonight by my good friend, Cliff Desmond. We've just spent some great time talking about Southern Gospel Radio, talking about Trinity Broadcasting Network, even talking about J.D. Sumner and Elvis Presley. And if you wonder why we're trying to make those deep voices, J.D. Sumner had one of the deepest voices ever in any genre of music. And he was a real prince of a guy, not perfect like the rest of us were, but we're talking, or like the rest of us are, but great guy, and we lost him too soon. But Cliff, you've told us a little bit about your background. Talk to us, if you will, about the transformation that took place in your life and certainly still taking place in your life, but tell us how things began to change and what was taking place as your life turned from a path of indoctrination to a path of enlightenment.
Well, I think I've been cursed with an incredible memory of my early childhood, because I remember my imaginary friends, and I remember them fading out when I was told by my preschool teacher and my parents that these were not real, and you know, big people don't see them, and every excuse that I can still remember that I had a lot of resistance when I talked about these friends. Well, later on in life, of course, around the age of 14 is when I had first heard the message of the gospel. Okay? and I was so compelled. I was deeply moved, you know, by it. And I felt like I was already a part of it or something to do with it. And I just, and you know what happened. You get saturated in it. You start studying and you really get on fire. And well, you become doctrinated, you know. And it goes through several different phases of life as a teenager. And then, of course, during these times, every now and then, I would wonder about certain things, and I'd ask the question of a Sunday school teacher, and the eyebrow would raise. It would get deadly quiet. And this was in a Baptist church, you know, not a Catholic church, but the same eyebrow, you know, that the arrogance of the elder, you know, or the person who has word of, who was lording over thee at the time, they raise the eyebrow. And it's like, we can't, you know, you shouldn't even think of things like that because it is not for us to know all these things. And I was always shot down, and there was no relief in sight. And of course, you know, when you're a kid and you're on fire, you try to do even more to try to get that acceptance. And I never received that acceptance, although I found myself at one point turning down a job as an assistant pastor. And I looked at this man and I said, I have no credentials. I'm a radio guy that plays the kind of music you like. You want me to be your assistant pastor? I don't have credentials to do that. And he said to me something that still haunts me now and then. He said, it's not the credentials that you have that I need. It's the energy.
Wow.
And the more I thought about that, I thought, oh, wait a minute. Are other people tapping in on something that I have that I'm not aware of? And I don't think I have anything that everybody else doesn't have. I think we all have the same thing. We just are taught to not listen. We're taught to be the monkeys, Jeff. Cover up your eyes, you know, careful little eyes what you see, careful little ears what you hear. And remember the little sing-song night you got into once?
Absolutely. Cliff, let me stop you one second.
Okay.
Go back, if you would, and if you're comfortable, and tell us what you think your imaginary friends were when you were a child.
Okay. Well, this is what's going to blow you away. I'd rather not go there, but I will tell you.
Well, if you don't want to go there, okay. Then
No.
You don't have to.
You'll understand why when I tell you it was a Red Bull calf.
I'm sorry, a red what?
A Red Bull calf. A calf.
Okay. A calf. A
little baby Red Bull that spoke.
The Red Heifer?
Well, you know, I never heard of the Red Heifer until just a few years ago. I was doing a little research and like, wait a minute. No.
Cliff, that's amazing stuff. That really is amazing stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I remember stepping into the woods one time. I'm talking about age 3 to 4. And we lived in a place called Old Center, which is way up above Winchendon, Massachusetts. It is Winchendon, but it's up in the hill area. And very historic, very old area. I stepped just beyond a couple of trees, and I looked around, and I couldn't see the house, and I got scared. Now, I'm 3 or 4 years old at the time, and I'm looking around, and like a flash of light, like swooped out of a log, and I looked around, and I didn't see anything else, but I thought I heard somebody say, look over here, a female voice. And I looked in that direction, and I could see through the trees the house. And I wasn't that far from it, so I got the heck out of the bushes. But, things like that.
So the heifer had a female voice?
No, this was another, this was outside when I was lost. I'm sorry, I didn't finish where the heifer was in the basement. The heifer was in the basement next to the cellar. Go down to the stairs, would make a left, and there's the cellar, and my little bull friend was right there. and I was like 3 or 4 years old. I remember telling my preschool teacher, and her name was Mrs. Crowley. She played the violin. That was great. We'd all sing. I told Mrs. Crowley about the little Red Bull, and, you know, she believed me because some of the kids that went to the school with me, you know, lived on farms. So there was a lot of farm country going on up there at the time. And so she just thought that, you know, maybe we had a little livestock, maybe we had a calf that we brought into the basement, you know, to get it in outside. So she went along with it. And then one time during one of those meetings where the parents were there, she started talking to my mother about the red calf. And that's where I started getting resistance about the red calf. It went away until later in life when I remembered it. It didn't come back, but the memory.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's basically, and you know what? I can set down my cup of coffee and misplace it in a heartbeat. But I vividly remember, you know, things like, imagine yourself walking in your favorite woods. If you imagine hard enough, you'll smell the trees. You'll see the stone walls, the birch trees, chipmunks, lady slippers, different plants. And all that really embedded deeply in my mind back when I was a child. And then later as a teenager when we moved to Florida, I've always felt that closeness and connection to that area still to this day. And there were many dreams over the years, too, about that area. I feel like I'm still a part of it somehow.
Absolutely.
And I am. All my school friends are with me on Facebook. That's another thing, Jeff, Facebook. In my observations, I've noticed that I think Facebook has a way of showing us how we're all able to communicate without being in each other's presence. Now, try to explain what we all do on Facebook to people on the earth 2,000 years ago who wouldn't have any idea. We're talking some really dangerous stuff here.
They would call it witchcraft, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would. Well, they had to have a name for something. We're in a name-calling world.
Exactly. Everything has to have a label.
Yeah. You got to scare the kids. Scare the kids before they get led astray. Wow. Save the sheep, Jeff. Save the sheep. But
it really is an interesting world that we live in.
Well, I'll tell you what else is interesting is when I started getting confirmation in the last few years from my friend Jeffrey Darty, I'm listening to him quoting scripture, and these are the very type of things that I used to wonder about that nobody had an answer for, and here's somebody with an answer. I almost at one time thought that I created my own imaginary friend, which was some preacher out there who's done his homework and understands these things, who can actually answer some questions. And that's why I feel like I know you so well.
And the first time you heard about me was on Coast to Coast AM?
Yeah, the first time you were on Coast to Coast AM, you were talking about the Apostle Paul Antichrist.
Exactly right.
You know, and you know, I had already been a suspect of Paul for many years because I always wondered, how come the red letters in my Bible, the words of Jesus, why are they saying things so different from these things that Paul said? Why are the red letters so different? You know, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, things like that. You listen carefully to those words, and it's not the same message that Paul had. Paul had a more controlling, let's keep everybody, I hate to say in a trance, but that seems to be what it is. It's some kind of a curse that needs to be broken. It's some kind of a, your interview with George Norrie just had a hold of me for a moment there, and I realized, wait a minute, I've got to hear just a little bit more of what this guy's talking about. So I started listening to some of this stuff, and I got startled because sometimes when somebody tells you something, we have this habit of, instead of telling them to shut up, we say, I know that, I know that. That means shut up. You've heard that before, right, Jeff?
Absolutely.
I know that. It's because I don't want to say it again. I don't want to admit it, or I don't want to continue talking about it. But we'd get that. And I'll tell you, now that somebody who's actually sensibly done, 100,000 hours of Bible study, which is actually studying the Bible in ways that nobody thought of studying it before, because once you study it according to conventional methods, you have to study it beyond those conventional methods, or you're just going to be stuck to what you're told to believe, and stuck what you're led to believe, and what you've actually talked yourself into believing with repetition and habitual. You call it blood magic, rituals, things that just keep everybody busy and the family busy, which is, you know what, Jeffrey, sometimes I wonder, Christianity has done a lot of good for people in society, but as an individual, to individuals, it's been pretty scary over the years.
It really has, Cliff, and hold that thought for you, if you will, for 1 minute.
Okay.
We'll take just a short break, and we'll be right back, and I'd love it. We're obviously going to have you back, or I'm going to have to think about in the future extending this show to 2 hours because it's just so short. But I'd like you to talk about the work that you discovered and brought me into that I'm calling astral evangelism. But let's see what Cliff Desmond, the guy that originated
that.
Has to say about it when we get back from this break. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower. Real short break. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jeffrey Daugherty. Just a real short message for you. I know you're enjoying the Christian Whistleblower show, but starting tomorrow night, we're going to kick off a show in this format that you're hearing tonight with Cliff Desmond, and we'll be doing it every week. It'll be called Create Yourself, and we're going to interview people that are on the cutting edge of helping you be your own guru, guide your own spirit, master your own ascension, and create the life that you'll love. And I'm also thinking about something that I thought about years and years ago, having a show called Christian Crossfire, where we talk about both issues of Christian doctrines. And because it wouldn't be fair to ask somebody to oppose me, what if I debate myself? Stay tuned for more information about the Christian Crossfire, and join us tomorrow night for the Create Yourself program.
And now, back to the Edward Snowden of the New Testament, the Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Daugherty.
Cliff, I remember, it hasn't been that long ago, getting a Facebook message from you talking about something called a ghost box and talking about actually reaching out into the spiritual realm to help people that left this life indoctrinated and being able to get them to go to where they want and need to be. Tell us about that.
Okay, we have to skip a lot of territory to get to here, folks. But when you start talking about a ghost box, we have some other folks within our circle of friends that use these, and as a result of watching what they've done, I tried it, and of course I've been aware of spirits all along because, I had been, of course, started out in a Baptist church, but then moved on to, because my girlfriend went to a Pentecostal church, and her parents would not let me see her unless I went to church with them, and well, then that was a whole new phase there. Down the road, though, there are ways of you always sense the spirit of a past loved one because, you express kind thoughts toward them and it draws them to you. That's how we're connected. We're just as connected with those who have passed as we are with those who are amongst us.
That's a fascinating thought.
Yeah, our spirits interact with each other. We don't even have to be in the same room. We can be across the state or across the country and still be connected. And I think all women are connected in another special way, but that's another phase of part of my discovery that we'll save for another time because the spirit box technology I found to be fascinating because it uses all the voices from the airwaves, from cell phones and Wi-Fi, radio communication, and somehow, I don't know how they do it, there's a couple of people out there that have an explanation, and some of them, and I'll even plug one of them for you before we're done with it. But this spirit box, you turn it on, and it just constantly scans everything. And you ask it a question, and you get an answer. And okay, that was a coincidence. Let's call it a coincidence. You start asking other questions, you start getting answers, and I discovered that if you record each session, you'll find many things in there that are placed in that are way too coincidental, direct messages. So, you know, I started thinking about the mediums that we see in the movies and on the scary TV shows, and they tell the spirits in order to move them on to their next destination. They're told to move into the light, go to the light, and that seems to be the thing that all the mediums are telling these spirits to do. And it hit me one day that light is something else besides what happens when you hit the switch. Light is truth. You've heard of the light of truth. In the light of truth. Why don't we try sending these into the light of truth? And another thing we need to consider, some of them might need to be sent into the life of birth. And when you start thinking about what a baby being born experiences as they go from darkness to light. So I have to keep all these things in mind. And in the meantime, I've had some friends ask for a little help here and there where we brought this box. It's software. I put it on a laptop, and
right.
I have a way of recording it and giving it a little special effect. And we ran it in this guy's house, and he's had what he calls visitations, physical, with his eyes, entities that he's been seeing. And also, he was a Vietnam veteran, and he has reference to a couple of these as being members of the enemy back in Vietnam. And,
wow.
Yeah, and we've tried to move them on three times, and we were very successful the first time. They moved on, and it was about 3 weeks later before he reported them again. They're not violent. They're not angry. They're not mean. They're playful. They dress up in some of his clothes, and they play little games on him. And I told him, I said, well, look, we're going to do this again. And we went in, and we asked some questions. The first time we bought the spirit box, and the second and third time that we went back without spirit box to deal with them directly. And what we concluded at this time is he keeps inviting them back. Do you think that if people are having trouble with a spirit and somebody helps them and takes care of it, do you think they can actually invite them back?
Well, I think that's absolutely a possibility, and in fact, they are going to come back, so you have to kind of uninvite them. If you remember, Yeshua said that when a spirit has gone out of a man, he goes through the dry places being, you know, somewhat picturesque, and then he comes back to that same place, the same person, and finding it swept and cleansed brings in himself and
right.
seven more worse than him. So absolutely, Cliff, you made a great point. They are going to look to come back. And they're going to try to come back every time, so it's implicit upon us as folks helping with that to make sure that the folks we're helping are very well aware of what's going to happen afterwards.
You know, one day I took my cell phone out, and I ran the software, and I put the camera, the video of my cell phone, and I just shot the screen of the laptop and did a session. Now, having, you know, video editing capabilities, I was able to move the video into my computer and put titles so that when the spirits use words to answer the questions or to address me, I would put the words on the screen that they were saying to help the listener. And what you can do is you can listen to it over and over and over. If you can decipher anything else besides what I was able to get from it, by all means, I'm willing to hear it, but it's on my website that I'll tell you about in a little bit.
And we got about 4 minutes, Cliff, so keep that in mind. It's all yours, and make sure you tell us where people can contact you.
All right. Well, what I have noticed about the spirits that are always around us is they're not all passed-on relatives. They're not all dead people. They're not all ghosts. They are creatures of the spirit realm. Now, before you get your eyes rolling too much about that, Let me remind you that here in the physical realm, when you take a walk into the forest, you're going to encounter creatures of the forest, everything from delightful little birds and squirrels and wonderful life forms like plants and flowers and things like that. Okay, you've got all these life forms that occur here in the natural realm in the forest land. Now, in the spiritual realm, we have a variety of different types of creatures there, and some of them are other humans around us. Some of them are other animals around us. Sometimes, Jeff, I even think that trees, you know, and now that's going to get me in trouble right there. I know. But sometimes
I actually had a discussion with a girl up in Minnesota this past week about that same subject, and I think you're right on, brother.
All right. Now, if anybody wants to help me support my research, they don't have to give me anything. I just want them to visit some of the websites that I've taken care of. I told you about the puppetry that's always been there. I developed a puppet pattern years ago. For 15 years, I had it on. I called it BiblePuppet.com because a lot of people like to have their ministry of some sort, and puppetry was a wonderful resource for them. They downloaded
that's how Jim
pattern.
And Tammy Baker got started.
Really, with puppets, huh?
Yep.
Well, this is just a pattern, and it allows you to make a nice moving mouth puppet out of the little 9x11-inch felt squares.
Wow.
So if you go to BiblePuppet.com or BiblePuppet.net, you'll get to see what some of these puppets look like. And I'm going to be making some more of these puppets soon and doing some videos and helping share the story of what we do, Jeffrey. And I might even, who knows, I might be able to make a nice Jeffrey Darty puppet.
You just frightened the hell out of everyone.
Oh, yeah. But it's a fine thought. Now, if you want to hear the session from my spirit box, from the ghost box, and I don't really believe in ghosts as ghosts the way we see them on TV and movies and stuff. I think it's a whole lot more simple, a whole lot more natural. I've discovered that kind thoughts will bring everybody together, living or past, and you'll know when the other kind thoughts that you hadn't thought of come back suddenly. Now, cliffdesmond.net, that's where you're going to find the Spirit Box session. It's a video, and you push the play button, and you just take a listen and look at the titles. It's at www. Now, wait a minute. You have to spell my name right. I spell my name with one F. Cliff Desmond, one word, one F, cliffdesmond.net. There's a few things there, basically for contact. You'll see a few comments here and there, and you'll see what I post on Twitter. But you'll also have links to my Facebook and Stealth Light. Stealth Light is on Facebook. Your Stealth Light Within. It's not about me. It's about you and your Stealth Light Within.
That's awesome. Cliff, unfortunately, we're going to have to cut it off there. And you have showed me that this needs to be a two-hour show. Thank you so much for being with me. We're definitely going to have you back. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend Cliff Desmond, what a great way to kick off the Create Yourself format. And we took Cliff right up to the edge, and we're definitely going to turn this into a two-hour show. I may even try to get Cliff to come back at least once a month because there's so much to talk about. And we used to say back in the old Pentecostal days, talk about kindred spirits, and Cliff and I certainly have those. But I'm Jeffrey Darty, your Christian whistleblower, and until tomorrow night, I'm sending you out lots of peace and light and encouraging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected to the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. Follow Jeffrey Darty on Twitter at Unindoctrinate. On Facebook, Jeffrey Darty and Jeffrey Darty Show. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today. Learn to unindoctrinate yourself, create yourself, and live the life you'll love.